1 Corinthians chapter 11, mark your Bible, 1 Peter 3, we'll be in Genesis, maybe Kings. Of course, we began teaching this on Sunday morning, and we're carrying on this series, and I'll review just a bit. We're getting some very difficult verses here, and the understanding of them, what Paul was saying. Now, we're really getting into the difficult scriptures concerning coverings and submission and all of that nature, and the woman question, why Paul was so difficult, why he would say things concerning women and preaching and ministering and that kind of thing, and really didn't know what to do with them for a long time, so we just kind of bypassed them because we knew God was anointing women. But, you know, when Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach, what are you going to do with that kind of scripture? And so we started looking into that, and it's been really good. Let's jump right back in. We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says, I would have you to know, now Paul's talking about coverings, and every time he uses the word head, head means covering. He says, I have you to know that covering of every man, or the head of every man, is Christ. The covering of the woman is the man, and the covering of Christ is God. And we talked about how the Godhead was in divine order. Jesus was perfectly submitted to his Father in his ministry in the earth in perfect harmony. Thought it not equal to be robbery with God, but made himself of low estate, that kind of thing. And we also looked at the foundation of men and women. He said, in Christ there's neither male or female. But when you're born into your inheritance, when the Bible spoke to you in Romans 8 and said you're a joint heir, he didn't make distinction between men and women. When we're born into the kingdom, we are joint heirs all. We all are equal in our inheritance in God. We were born equal, all of that. But in our roles here in the earth, we have roles and functions, and God has created divine order. You cannot have a government without order, and so God has divine order in the church. He has it in the home. He has it in ministerial relationships, divine order with him, divine order in your body, everything. There's order everywhere in the kingdom of God. And when we fit into that order, things begin lining up, the blessings begin to flow. But when that order gets breached, what happens is it gives the enemy reign to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. So what we did Sunday is we lined everybody up, and I believe John was God the Father, and then who was Christ? Enrique, that's a good one. Who was the man? Oh yeah, we gotta get a new one for that. And then we had the woman, and then the child, and you saw the perfect order. It was a covering. It was not meant for control or manipulation. Each covered one another. And then we talked about how those roles are reversed. And even Paul says, doesn't nature itself teach you that it does not reverse its roles? You know, that kind of thing. So he's getting into this. So let's look at this. He goes, I'd have you to know the covering of every man is Christ. The covering of the woman is the man. The covering of Christ is God. All in perfect divine order. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that pray or prophesy with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So what are we going to have all you women put one of the, what do you call those you put on your head? Bonnet, whatever. So every time you pray or prophesy, you know, you're going to have your head covered. So we're going to be making all those available in the bookstore. And literally people think that's what it's talking about, but really it's not. He just got through talking about there was a covering system in the kingdom of God. And then he says, a man praying or prophesying having his head covered, dishonor his head. Who's the head of the man? Christ. Praying or prophesying with his head covered. Let me show you in a more vivid illustration. I'll use an unmarried couple because he's really talking about marriage here. Come up here, Sharon, Rich, come up here. Let's pretend that they're married for the sake of teaching. You stand here, Rich, you stand up there. That's perfect order. And then you got Christ, and you got God the Father. Now this man's praying and prophesying. When you hear praying and prophesying in the Word of God, you're actually talking about public ministry. 1 Corinthians 14, it talked about how the prophets would come together and they would speak. And one would speak after another because they didn't have Bibles in the New Testament. So most of the revelation would come out through what was called prophetic exhortation. They would be praying and they would come up in public and God would have a word and that mystery would be revealed. And that's why Paul was saying, let you speak prophets one at a time, let others judge what was coming out, because that's how the revelation knowledge was being distributed in the early church. So what was happening, this man, what Paul's saying is, stand down there now, stand up here, That's what Paul was saying. He says, when a man is praying or prophesying, being covered, dishonoreth his head. Because what's happened, she's forced, in other words, to wear the pants in the family. Because he's laying down on the job, spiritually somewhere, either as a provider for his household, but he's ministering, but his household's not being taken care of. And this one, which is supposed to be under the covering, has to come up and begin assuming responsibility that he's supposed to be carrying. Okay? Thank you. Now, the next verse he said, every woman praying or prophesying, being uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Who's the head of the woman, or the covering of the woman's the man? You know what that means? Is the woman refuses to be under covering. Now, this was the big problem in the church right here. And this is what Paul's going to begin addressing throughout the entire New Testament church. A woman praying or prophesying, she refuses the covering of her husband, so she chooses to function without that covering. And you know, people do this at times. It happens. They override the authority of their covering, and they wear the boots, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. And if you do, we'll just go down the street and do something else. And that's what happened. He says, you're dishonoring your head because you're not coming under the proper authority, divine order, that's in the kingdom of God that God has set up. And that covering aspect, now watch what he says here, because here's the big problem. He says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, which is her husband, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. You know what that's saying? That's appearing to all as if she were shaven. Now, that don't mean a lot in our culture, because really women can wear short hair, long hair. But in that culture, the temple prostitutes would shave their head. And it was a sign of what they did, really. And it was a sign of the rebellion. And Paul's saying, listen, if you're going to pray and prophesy and be uncovered, he goes, you're appearing to all as if you were shaven. That's what you're appearing like. He says, if that's what you're going to do, you're going to see this in a second. He goes, if you're going to continue to minister publicly, being uncovered and refuse to come under the covering, he goes, you're already appearing to all as if you were walking around shaven. And that was like, you know, he's saying something about that in that culture. He goes, you're appearing like that. And what he says, look at the next verse. He says, for if the woman be not covered, if you refuse to be covered, well, then why don't you go ahead and be shorn? If you're not going to come under your household, then tell everybody. See, he brings in, he goes, if you're going to do that, then why don't you just publicly show everybody who you really are? Now watch what he follows it up here. He says, but if it's a shame to be shorn, or since it's a shame to walk around publicly as a woman with a head shorn, and back then it was a serious shame, since it's a shame, then why not come back under your covering? Because if you're going to do it, you might as well just tell everybody you're doing it. That's what he's saying. Now watch this. He says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now he gets into a really perk up here. Powerful scripture here. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. He goes back into the original garden here. He's going back into Adam. In fact, he said, he goes, I suffer not a woman to teach in Timothy. We're going to go there in just a second and let you look at it, because we're going to build on it further tonight. He says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman was of the man. See, he goes right back into divine order. You see what he's talking about? He's not talking about with your heads covered with a hat or something. Come on, give me a Pentecostal revelatory break here. You know what I'm talking about? He's talking about coverings here and moving in divine order with God. You've got to be in covering. People that refuse covering and try to build outside of it are in a continual breach. They're going to have continual confusion in their life. That's just the way it's going to be. Boy, I'm getting a lot of amens tonight. Verse 7, for a man ought not to cover his head or allow his head to be covered. That means he ought not to lay down on the job and force somebody else to wear the pants. If you're the head of the household, then wear the pants spiritually. That doesn't mean with a dominating iron fist. That means covering. It's Christ loved the church. He would never put an iron fist over your head. He wants you to cover your household with love. He says nurture. With that nurturing, he wants you to oversee the household, wear the pants in the household spiritually. He doesn't want men laying down on the job and forcing somebody to step up and cover. Now watch the scripture. For the man is not of the woman, neither the woman of the man, neither was man created for the woman, but the woman was the man, same covering aspects. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head or over her head because of the angels. Now that was quite a big revelation. My spiritual father actually broke this. Now, every time they begin talking about coverings here and the woman question, see, Paul already said right here, a woman praying or prophesying being uncovered was out of order, and she's dishonoring her head because she's stepping out of the covering of her head and praying and prophesying or ministering publicly. But in other words, if she was covered, then it's sanctioned by God. It's sanctioned. And a woman can hold public ministry. And we know this because Anna the prophetess, she not only witnessed his birth, but she spake openly to them. All of Judea spoke openly of him in public ministry, by the way, being a prophetess called by God. God anoints women. We all know that now, but I tell you what, the scriptures had a big impact on women for a long time because it was not rightly divided, and they sought to put women under a yoke that God never designed it to be. He's talking about harmony and coverings here. And we have to understand that harmony. Amen? But he says this, he goes, for this cause ought the woman to have power overhead because of the angels. And every time he talked about breaches of covering, when Timothy's writing to Ephesus, you remember the book of Ephesians, how he talked about, it was like a love letter. You know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Really sweet, wonderful. The heart of the book, he gets over to Timothy. He's writing to the church of Ephesus through the book of Timothy, and Timothy had a huge church in Ephesus. He's writing to them, and then he's getting all over their case. He goes, I suffer not a woman to teach. I mean, he's on their case. Why would Paul switch like that? Then write to the Ephesians through Timothy, and just, I mean, totally another spirit. Almost like he's bringing correction. You know, and Paul did that quite often. He brought correction. He's not the kind of guy you would mess around with, you know. He's there with you in spirit. He knew, I mean, he was overseer of those churches. He was bringing correction. But each time they would talk about this breach in divine order, and Paul is dealing with a breach here in divine order. Why? He goes back to the garden. He went back there, and here in Timothy, he goes back to the garden. Adam was formed in Eve. And so we found out Sunday morning there was something going on in the garden. And we look back there in the garden, we found out that in that same divine order, who did the enemy come after? Eve. Why? She was not made for frontline defense, war, and confrontation. He went after her. Now, I'm not talking about frontline defense in the spirit. You are made like that, but he came after her. Why? Because he was seeking to breach that order in the beginning. And when he did, and she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, guess what she did? She turned around and she handed that fruit to her husband that was with her. Right there, watching the whole thing go down. He refused to wear the pants in his house, basically. Adam laid down on the job in the beginning. The breach came originally in the beginning from that fallen angel, mind you. Came to Eve, and that deception was sown into the human race. The breach came right there. Adam watched the whole thing go down. It did not stop it. And right there, the breach came. And that's why he goes, refers back to the garden there, because he said right there, he said, the woman ought to have power over her head because of the angels. He's really talking about fallen angels here. He's talking about how they came in. And he goes, listen, that same spirit that was loosed upon the original pair in the garden, that same spirit is loosed right now in the church. And he gives a big warning. And now, Paul, why do you think he's dealing with this? Because not only he deals with it here, he deals with it in Timothy, he deals with it in the 14th chapter of Corinthians. Peter's dealing with it. It's a big problem. And when you start reading, and there we looked into this, when you start reading about the coverings, when Paul's talking about, I suffer not a woman to teach, but to go and learn in subjection in a spirit of meekness and quietness, you find out he's not talking about all the woman population. He's dealing with a spirit that got loosed in the early church, the same one that was in the garden that caused a breach. Well, there was a breach there, and that's why he said, I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority. He was dealing with that spirit that was loosed in the early church, and it was usurping authority. I got to meditating about this. And then John said, you know, Abraham and Sarah, they had a big problem there. And he said something and it clicked in me. So I got to meditate and boy, I found some good stuff there. Let's look at this, shall we? All right, go to 1 Peter first. Boy, it gets quiet when you start talking about stuff like this. Okay, 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter's dealing with this same subject here. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also, without the word, may be won by your conversation or behavior. He's talking about a husband that does not know the Lord. He says, listen, as you subject yourself to him, he's going to see your chaste behavior, and he's going to come around the Lord. And he tells you what's not going to win him. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. What he's saying, he goes, that's not what's going to win him. Hallelujah. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner of old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters are you as long as you do well and not afraid with any amazement? Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. But he said that Sarah called him Lord. And so I got back to looking at that. I said, you know, I wonder if she always called him Lord. I wonder if she was always in that state. You know, I get to meditate and things. I said, and we know she's like that at the end of her life. Now let's go back to Genesis. But what was she like in the middle of the relationship? Amen. Are you breathing? So we know at the end of her life, I mean, she's a full age and she's been thoroughly transformed, and her and Abraham have gone through the fire, and he's 99, she's 90. You know, and she calls him Lord here at 90 years old. They're about to give birth to Isaac. They're 1 year from giving birth, and God's coming to Abraham. And this is when she's calling him Lord, you know, and everything's hunky-dory. She's fully submitted, but she wasn't always there. Oh, Sarah! Got a name change, but until she got transformed. You know God doesn't call perfect people, don't you? Only one perfect in here is Anna. And she calls me Lord, hallelujah. Woo! Verse 9. Oh, Genesis 18. You should know that. Come on. How long have you been with me? Hallelujah. Genesis 18. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of thy life. Now, God's telling him, he's only 99. God said, I'm going to return to thee. He's 100. They give birth. She's 90. She's 89 right now. And Sarah thy wife will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. They were quite mature. This is the only time she called him Lord right here. Ladies, you have some time. Say, I ain't calling you Lord. Uh-uh. Men, you might have to wait to the end of your life to hear it. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, meaning she cannot give birth any longer. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? It's the only time she called him Lord right there. Big revelation. But they were quite mature. I'm thinking, man, something had to happen. She can't be this perfect all her life, you know. Now, she had a true respect, and all kidding aside, for Abraham. She truly did. She was perfectly under his covering. She laughed, and the Lord took note of that and called, you know, her son after laughter, which is Isaac, you know. But she was truly in divine harmony with God. And with really with Abraham, she was in divine harmony under his covering. She knew. And, you know, sometimes things just have to mature, that kind of thing. Amen? Go to Genesis 17 real quick, and then we'll back up to Genesis 16. Now, this is Abraham at 90 years old, 99 years old, verse 1, Genesis 17, 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. Now look at verse 15, still about the same time we just read here. Genesis 17, 18, they're about the same age. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. Now God changed her name right there. She was mature, and God said, a mother of nations shall you be. She was in perfect harmony there. She's 90 years old. He's 99. He said, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her and shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Man, these guys have a lot of faith, man. And said his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now that got me thinking. I want to go back and look at Ishmael. I wanted to see these two back when he was 86 and she was 76. I see her at 90. God appeared to Abraham at 75. Sarah was 65. Now, by the time she was 90, walking 25 years with the Lord, she had come into fruition. And God changed her name. But I wanted to see her in between. Give me a snapshot, shall we? Go to Genesis 16, one chapter early. Now, at this Genesis 16, he's 86 years old, she's 76. Okay? 10 years they've been walking with God. They're not thoroughly mortified or transformed, I can assure you. Now, they're getting tired of waiting on God. They've only been carrying the promise for 10 years. God comes to Abraham at 75 and tells him. They're carrying the promise for 10 years. Now, Abraham's 86, she's 76. Just 10 years carrying the promise. And now, you know, they're getting a little impatient. I don't know anybody that's ever been like that. I know I haven't. So watch this, Genesis 16, 1. Both of them are getting impatient here. And God gives us a little snapshot here of what happened. Because they did something that's still affecting the earth today. Now Sarah, or Sarai, she wasn't the mother of nations yet. She was still in training. Abram, and so was he, men. Abram's wife bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Uh-oh. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. Now she's ordering him now. She's not calling him Lord right now. She's Lord right now. Abraham, this is what's going to happen. How do you know? Because he said, yes, ma'am. Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened. You see that breach right there? He laid down on the job. Big, mighty faith man Abraham. Laid down on the job. His wife started covering him. How do you know? You'll read it in the next verse. Whatever you want, honey. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, I mean, she was in charge. Took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Ooh. Sarai, untransformed, uncrucified flesh. She's not the mother of nations right here, I can assure you. She gets upset something big time. She's the one that did it. Now she's upset. Watch her response. Verse 5, and Sarai said unto him, my wrong be upon thee. Said, I'm not accountable. You are. She turned on him right there. What did he do? I just obeyed you, sweetie. What can I just need peace. What would you have me do now? My wrong be upon thee. I'm not the one accountable here. You are. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Now the Lord judge between me and thee. But a living Bible says, now the Lord will judge you for it. She's shifting everything on him with righteous indignation. She said, don't even think about it. You are the man. You see that? This is Sarah, mother of many nations. She is untransformed at this point, and she's still growing. And she just covered, and Abraham laid down on the job. You see, they're both in the wrong here. This is that scripture right there in 1 Corinthians 11. You know, if a man be covered, she's wearing the pants and he's letting her, kind of thing. They're both in the wrong. There's a lot of breach in divine order. Guess what happens when divine order gets breached? A lot of problems start happening very quickly. And those problems are not changed overnight. In fact, that particular problem is still giving the earth a lot of problems right now. Would it that have been a divine order? Abraham, like Adam, some of the great men of God, just, you know, while they're growing, he could have said, no, 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 no. We know that God came to us by promise. They were in the flesh. And when you're in the flesh and divine order gets breached, hey, my friends, you better know divine order. Because these were the warnings Paul was giving to the church. You don't know what spirit you're dealing with. When you step out of order, you don't know. That's why a woman ought to have power over her head, because that same force that was loosed in the garden, that force, when it gets loosed, it got loosed in the early church, and there was a whole lot of problems that were happening because order was breached. Harmony was breached. Men laying down on the job. Women forced to wear the pants in the household. All this was happening. It's happening right here. He said, the Lord judge you. You see how quickly she turned? I could see Abraham. What? What did I do? The Lord, what? You're the one that had the idea. Now you're turning it on me? Have you ever been in an argument with a husband and wife? I don't want to get to meddling too much. And they turn it on you. Husband turns it. Wife turns it. You say, hey, this was your idea. What are you making me look? It's called manipulation. Ever heard of manipulation? That's what's going on here when divine order confusion sets in. And Abraham, he's still laying down on the job. Verse 6, said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid's in thy hand. I'm through, basically. He said, I'm done. Still didn't come fix the problem. Turns her over to Sarah. Sarah's not liking her at this point. At all. Sarah, mother of many nations. She's fixing to get her handmaiden back under her authority. It's not very clear what transpires here, but something happens because that handmaid's out the door. Look at this. Thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Man, this is Abraham, father of many nations. I started reading this and said, oh my God, we have hope, Lord. If these greats of the faith were like this midway through their life, we have some hope. Hey, God's not through yet. Say it, God's not through. Everybody's going to go through things like this. What God's looking for, can we grow up into harmony one with another? Harmony in church covering, harmony in marriage, harmony with God in our relationship with Him. He wants us to grow up. He knows we got these issues. And yes, things happen and Ishmael gets birthed and we got lots of problems. But nothing's too big for God. The biggest tragedy, if we don't let the Lord deal with our issues and refuse all of our life to come under subjection. Even Christ came under subjection to His Father. I mean, you could hear the humility. He says, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. I will not move on my own accord. He had the power to move on His own accord, but He would not, for perfect submission and perfect harmony. Well, I just don't like that person. They just happen to ruffle my feathers. Do you honestly believe that you're going to live through this life under authority and somebody's not going to ruffle your feathers? God gave me people like Dave and Gary. Gary Carpenter, my God, that man will tell you the truth in a heartbeat. He has told me so many times, and you know, he'd just say, okay, LaRue, let me tell you. And he would just tell me, you know, I had to suck it up. Can you say suck it up? I didn't like it. I was upset. Gary, if you're hearing by the sound of my voice, I love you now, brother. Boy, back then, see, there was issues exposed in me. God gives you covering for a reason. It's not always going to be the way you want it. In fact, there'll probably be divinely orchestrated moments that's going to expose some issues. And then you have a chance either to make a decision. Well, bless God, I can go down the street. You go down the street, you're going to do the same thing, because anybody worth their salt in maturity with God, you're going to have to come up through that rank too. And it's going to get exposed there. It's not greener anywhere else. It's going to be the greenest where God plants you. Well, I don't like it right now because things are being exposed, O Abram, O Sarah. You're not Abraham yet. You're not Sarah yet. Your name is Abram, and for ladies, your name is Sarah. We haven't been finished yet. You ain't time to call your Lord yet, kind of thing, you know. You're still being processed. This is good preaching. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. And Abram, he's not Abraham yet. God doesn't call you yet like that. He called him Abraham when he got him where he wanted him to be. When God gives authority, he has to trust you. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Whew, I don't know what Sarah did. I don't know exactly what transpired. The Living Bible said she beat her. She was hot. And the Bible said she dealt hardly and said she didn't flee from her. She fled from her face. Sarah, mother of many nations, gave that maid some kind of issue. There was some aggressive fellowship going on, put it that way. Have you ever been through that? Somebody just gives you a ringing, and you probably don't deserve it. She's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm just submitted to you guys. You know, I filled out my application. You know, you were there. You know, you hired me. Here I am. I've been faithful servant to you guys. It was your idea to send me in there with Abraham, not my idea. I bear a son, and now, you know, you're all up in my face. This is mother of many nations. Not quite submitted yet. Had lots of issues. Isn't that wonderful? To know that we're going to grow up. I tell you, it's a hard, hard road if you don't let the Lord change you. Not everybody's problem is sitting next to them. Your problem is not sitting next to you. You know why? When God starts dealing with these things, you just get the person next to you. It's you. It's not me. It's you. God's going to change some of our names, you know, as we grow up into things. He wants to change our name. If Abram and Sarah made it, we'll make it. You know, the Bible doesn't give all the time the flesh went on and all the change and transformation, but it wasn't easy. It gives us a little glimpse that, hey, they weren't perfect at 86. You know, they're midway through the process. You know, we're going to get there. We're going to be mature, you know. We're in the process, so get with the program. Well, I don't like it. Hey, tough. It's the way God set it up. If something in you does not like submission, there's a big, big problem. It's a big problem. You're not going to have an easy road. You know, I know people that cannot sit down anywhere. They go from one place to another, to another, to another. Always got all the revelation. I had a lady come to me about 6 or 7 years ago. It was an assignment. First thing she did is wrote us a check for $5,000. And I said, something is going on. They try to feed you first. And then, I'm telling you, this is a week later. I should have told her, are there any strings with this? I need to know right here, right now. She goes, can I have a meeting? I said, sure. We were sitting down, and I was wise enough to have somebody in the room with me. She gets in this deep meditational voice. God has called me with a very unusual calling. I am called to cover and transform the pastors of this city and to further perfect them into their calling. And that is my call, and I need to bring correction to your life. Uh-huh. So I said, well, before you correct me, can you tell me anybody that you have presently ministered to? Can you give me the name of a pastor that has submitted himself to your covering? She goes, no, you are the first. And I said, and I am also the last. That happened. You'd be amazed the stuff that goes on. See, this spirit, when that door opened, Ishmael was birthed. And I mean, look at the problem now. We can't see it, but when things get breached in the spirit, you don't know sometimes when stuff's going on because there's a spirit behind it. They're seeking to breach the harmony in a marriage. They're seeking to breach the harmony in relationship with church, in the relationship with your pastor, in the relationship with God. The breach, they're seeking to breach the spirit. The same spirit that was in the original garden is still alive today, seeking to breach. Why? Because that's where he gets his authority. Right there. Because God, he knows God is a God of covering. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you a really neat revelation. I showed this to you, but I'll show it to you one more time. Verse 10, I know anytime you're teaching something new, it's difficult. Now, it says, let's look at verse 7 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For a man, 11:7, indeed ought not to have his head covered, like Abraham, just like we talked about. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman's the glory of the man. See, he just goes right back in divine order there. For the man, now he goes back to the garden here, verse 8. See him going back to the garden? He does that exact same thing in the book of Timothy. And it says it like this. Go to 1 Timothy 2 real quick. I've got a couple minutes. I'm going to share this again. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Sometimes you got to go over and over it again before it gets ingrained. 1 Timothy 2:11. Hold your finger in Corinthians. 1 Timothy 2:11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. And then if they won't do that, then I will suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. You know what he's talking there? That word silence is a spirit of meekness and quietness. You know what Paul's trying to do? He's not dealing with all the women. He's dealing with a very problematic part in the church. The same spirit that was loosed in the garden, which was verse 10 in Corinthians, says the woman ought to have power over her head because of the angels. In other words, if Eve would have been properly covered in the garden and Adam would have stepped up and covered with his authority, all he had to do is say, no, we will not do this. Stop right now. It took one decision and all that would have stopped right there. Because Adam lay down on the job, she came up, she lost the power of her covering. And that's why he said, listen, that deception came into the human race, that breach that went into the garden, that happened from a fallen angel when the devil approached her. And that's what he's referring to here. He says a woman ought to have power in her head because the same spirit that was loosed in the garden is loosed in the church. And that's what Paul's dealing with throughout these scriptures. He's dealing with this constant problem that's going on in the church. And right here in this verse, he's dealing with it again. And he's writing to Ephesus here. Different spirit than he wrote in the book of Ephesians. When you read chapter 5, a totally different spirit. Now he's making correction. When Paul makes correction, it's because somebody stepped over the line. When you meditate enough of his books, when he had to come in, same way with us. We don't correct every time someone has a little issue. But if that issue keeps compounding and compounding, then we're forced to step in and say, okay, we now have to correct. We take a governing body, two or three people, and say, we're going to administer correction now. And if you will not hear this, we will go before the church and administer the correction publicly. I've had to do that twice in 9 years. Only twice, public correction. Now, in verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 2, when he said, let the women learn in silence, he's really talking about a marital relationship. The same problem that was going on in Corinthians. A woman came out from under the covering. It was a big problem in the early church. They were ministering out from under the covering. And there was a lot of rebellion. There was a lot of dominating personalities. There was a lot of control and manipulation going on in the early church. And Paul has to now correct it. And here's his instruction to that personality type. He said, let the women learn in a spirit of meekness and quietness. That was his instruction. Why? He said, because the spirit you're operating in, you were never meant to be that way. That's the result of the fall. God made you to nurture. He made you sensitive. He didn't make you like He made you sensitive and nurturing. Why? Because of the children, the household. Now, women are strong in the spirit. There's no doubt about it. You look through history, some of the strongest women in the church. Some of the strongest people have been women. They're strong in the spirit. But we have personality types. And that's what Paul was saying. There is an order in the family. There's a harmony. And that order was breached. And Paul was saying, learn in subjection and quietness. And he says, if you won't do that, then as the apostle of the church, Russ had this revelation, then as the apostle, I will not suffer that personality type to teach and stand up publicly. Why? I'm not going to allow that spirit to get into the church. And as the apostle oversighting this church, I'm not going to let a spirit of control set itself up in a public ministry of the church, because I'm not going to suffer. That's why he said, nor usurp authority over the man, because he's dealing with a personality type. He's not talking about women preachers. God ordains women preachers. He ordains them into the fivefold. There's coverings. The covering of a woman is the husband. And if a woman's single in the fivefold, her covering is the church. The elders in the church, they cover her in that role. Amen? Are you all with me? All right. Verse 13. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. See, he goes back to the original covering in the garden. Why? Because he's dealing with a breach in divine order. He's going back. He said, look, order's been breached. I got to bring you back. What was the original order? You see who he's dealing with here? He says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived, she came out from the covering, was in the transgression. Verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Oh, wow. I don't know. You're going to have to give birth. I don't know. Right here, you're only going to be saved in childbearing. Best y'all better hurry and get married. I don't know. Is the woman going to be saved in childbearing? You see how you can't take one scripture out of the Bible and build a doctrine around it? It has to fit. That's the laws of meditation. What he was saying, because of that original breach in the garden, he talked about that original breach, and women would go through hard time in childbearing because of the original breach. And all he's saying is that he says, listen, you're going to be delivered in childbearing. It's not going to go all the way to death here. He goes, you're going to be delivered. It wasn't any big revelation. He's saying because of that breach, the childbearing became a very difficult thing. He goes, but you'll be delivered in that. That's all he was saying. There was no big major revelation there. But you see that. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you this. Then we're going to close because I see people glaring at me right now. Wait till I get him after service. Just remember, Abram, Sarai, if you're glaring right now, you shall be called Abraham. You shall be called Sarah. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, before you do that, I'm going to say one more scripture. I'm going to let you go. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Go to chapter 14 really quick. Quiet in here now. Hallelujah. I've never preached a message. I feel that quietness. Lots of contemplation going on here. All right. Look at verse 31. This is the point I was making. He says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be comforted. You see, prophecy really is not like what you think today where you say, yea, thus saith the Lord. Back then, most of the revelation knowledge was dispersed through prophetic exhortations. They didn't have Bibles. They would be praying and they would step up and the revelation would be released one by one as the Spirit of God was establishing the doctrine of the church. He said, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 34, now look at this. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. They're commanded to be under obedience. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's a shame for the women to speak in church. I said, goodness gracious, did you change your mind, Paul? In 1 Corinthians 11, he said, listen, if a woman's praying or prophesying uncovered, she's dishonoring her head. But if she was covered, that means she would honor her head. And it was sanctioned by God, but then come three chapters later, he just lost it and said, look, I don't want any of them speaking at all. See how you can't just take one verse and build a doctrine out of it? You know how many women have been suppressed over the last 2,000 years because of these verses? A lot of women would never even enter their calling because it wasn't permitted by the church authority because they didn't understand what this was saying. He's still dealing with this sect of women here. That's why he's going right back. If you ever read Paul's writings and you meditate him enough, Paul will go on and he'll be talking about something and then he'll take a rabbit trail. You ever heard of a rabbit trail preaching? He'll revisit that thing three books later like, okay, we're back on this subject. It's like, well, we didn't know you ever left, Paul. So next time, give us a bookmark saying, hey, I'm leaving. I'll be back in three chapters. He does this often. Book of Romans, he did it all over. Galatians did the same thing. Really, that's what's going on. He's dealing with these issues. You have to remember the Corinthian church was a carnal church. They were the Abram and Sarah. They were not perfected. They were not developed. They were not mature. He was dealing with their carnality. There was lots of issues, a lot of independence, a lot of dominating personalities. He was dealing with those personality types. So when he goes back to 14, he's dealing again with the women that were out of order, that refused to come under covering. That's why he said, go and learn in quietness in your own household. Because that was his remedy to them. He says, listen, you're not fit to be a public minister if you can't come under the covering of your own household. At the same time, men, we're called to love them as Christ loved the church, not with a dominating iron hand. That is just as guilty as a woman praying and prophesying uncovered is a man to put an iron fist over his household. That is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is love and compassion. And that's what he was dealing with in chapter 14. That's what he was saying. And then he goes on in chapter 14 right after, and he says, doesn't nature itself teach you? He goes in and he compares nature with women having long hair and men having short hair. He says, doesn't nature itself teach you that you don't reverse the role? Now, in our society, we don't really get into the hair deal like they did, but doesn't nature itself teach you? And he says, why would you leave the God-ordained governing covering that he put in the order that he set? He goes, doesn't nature teach you you don't do that? You don't step out of order. Nature never steps out of order. He says, why would you? And we see the pitfalls of what happens when we step out of order. The breach comes, and it's truly, I tell you, it's truly important that we stay. It is our protection. You know, some people, if they do not come in order, they will never see harmony and peace and the blessing of God. They live in a constant place of turmoil, and you can't have enough stuff to fix it. Sometimes there's something wrong. You can't just feed that fruit and keep trying to pick that bad fruit. You're going to have to go down and change the root. There is something wrong that's causing it constantly. You see? I tell you, when things line up, blessings begin to flow. Harmony, peace, love, joy. Hallelujah. Amen.